Good afternoon. Today's travels take us to Napa Valley and Dry Creek Valley in Sonoma County. Thanks for joining me on the Wine Road.
Everybody at the winery, they're just all amazing people. And there's this great friendly banter, and we love to hang out. And then you've got the owners who are the best of people. And if I need a new tool and it improves the quality, you know, that's available.
After the 98 harvest, I was promoted to winemaker, and it was exciting times. Nothing that I thought would happen that fast, but it was great, a great place to learn, and just a wonderful opportunity.
Today, two very pleasant winemakers. Joel Aiken spent 27 years at historic Beaulieu Vineyards in Napa Valley. Jennifer Higgins intends to have that same tenure at Lambert Bridge. Their stories are next. I'm Jeff Davis. Stick around, won't you? On the Wine Road is sponsored by Smothers European Volvo, a family-owned business since 1982 on the Corbiato Row and mbofsantarosa.com. Sonoma Clean Power, choice, local control, competitive electricity prices. You can have it all. Sonoma Clean Power, local, renewable, ours. And by On Fire in Santa Rosa, where they carry outdoor kitchens, furniture, and grills for homes and businesses on Cleveland Avenue. Today's interviews are what I like to refer to as intimate. You'll feel as if you're sitting in the chair next to us. I'll start with Jennifer at Lambert Bridge, and stay tuned for details on their monthly Chef's Table experiences and James Beard Celebrity Chef Dinner coming up next Saturday. As you'll hear, Jennifer and I were having a good chat, so I just decided to start the interview there.
Now, what beautiful stone room are we in now?
So what we're sitting in now is called the cellar room, and this is the cellar room. For me, it's exciting because this is where we do all of our blending and all the tasting. But for everybody else, it's a private room. We do our chef's table series here. We have private dinners in here. We host tastings in here as well for our club members and then also for our guests.
And then the open room just outside here, that's another beautiful spot with the wonderful candle chandeliers.
I know, chandeliers in a winery, isn't it cool? Those are some old chandeliers too. So this building was built in 1975, and that's all the original redwood.
Yeah.
And that room, we call it the redwood room, that's where we do our seated tastings. And for us, that's where we really connect with our guests. So people come in, they can do a Bordeaux flight, because that's what we're known for, Bordeaux reds. Or they can do a cellar flight, and just it's a one-on-one experience.
And then, of course, you have the Curly's Bar.
We do. We have that's the first place people see. And that big fireplace is always really memorable, too. And in the winter, we have fires roaring, and we have chairs out front. And so it's just a great place to sit back and drink red wine. And then in the summertime, you can just come in. We have a great picnic area, a great place to buy a bottle of wine and sit down and just enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sonoma County.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you're here, you feel like you're up in Tahoe.
I know. Well, it's that wood experience. Yeah. And what's fun, I'm born and raised here in Sonoma County, and this place really feels like the real deal. You walk in, it's kind of got that old Sonoma feel to it. Mm. Rustic, but also, I would say, extremely well done. We pride ourselves on our hospitality, and so you come in and it feels like a hug.
You know, I wasn't sure if I was going to say this or not, because I don't want it to be misinterpreted, but, you know, when I think about Lambert Bridge, and especially and when you taste the wine and you read about the winemaking philosophy, it's almost like they grabbed a winery in Napa Valley and put it right here in Sonoma.
But they also filled it full of all these Sonoma County natives, which is, you know, we're a really cool breed. We really are. We're trying to do things as well as we can in every sense of the word. Hospitality, winemaking, I think the winemaking is a given, and I do know this. I can make the best wine in the world, but if the experience isn't there, people are going to find someplace else to go. And so we try to elevate things, but make it feel very friendly.
And I'm not trying to belittle what's going on. Everybody here in Dry Creek and Sonoma County is doing the best they can and doing a fabulous job. But there's just a mindset that seems to take place here that you see a little bit more over in Napa Valley, especially like in Stag's Leap.
Yeah, you do. And great wines over there for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that we're Bordeaux focused kind of sets us apart and maybe puts us in line with Napa. I will hold our wines up against anything produced over there. I'm really proud of the wines we're making. And yeah, but I think there's a lot of people that go to Napa, and there's a lot of show in Napa, whereas I really pride ourselves. I'm so proud that we're authentic here.
And it's a gorgeous building, but as you referred to, it's very rustic and it's got that cabin feel about it.
Right. It's a place you want to just come and hang out. Yeah. And then the wine is good too. So it's like a win-win. It's perfect.
Well, the winemaker says that.
I say that. Fair enough.
No, the wine is fantastic. And in the wintertime, you're talking about the fireplace, and it must be hard for you to get back to work when you come in and it's 35, 40 degrees outside. You must want to just curl up with a glass of red wine in front of the fire.
That's my favorite place to stand, is, you know, with the back to the fireplace and the front to see the big room and the whole place. Right. Yeah.
This, you know, that's what I was mentioning to you last time I was here, was during last year's Passport to Dry Creek Valley event. And that's such a great opportunity for people who don't make it here to, you know, I would suggest definitely put it on your list of places to hit during an event like that, because you may not consider coming here necessarily. And you get to taste some of a good variety of the wines too.
We try to over deliver for Passport. It's the only event we're open to for the public, like the big public event that we do. Yeah. We see a lot of people through, and we try to make sure that the food is paired with the wine and people walk away with this amazing impression of this place.
The food that you offer is always spectacular. I've been here a couple of years during that event, and you have a variety of options too.
We do. We have something for everybody. Vegetarian options all the way through, but the important thing is it's that food and wine pairing that makes it really, really fun. It makes the wine just taste so much better. And the food tastes better, and just, like I said, we like to over-deliver.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about you now for a change. Now that we've talked about the winery, which is not usually the way I do it.
Let's talk about me. What do you want to know?
You know, I read that you worked in the wine industry for a while, and even got the great opportunity to work with Zelma Long at Simi Winery. And then you went over to Italy, but all the while you were planning to get into the medical field. So when did you finally decide that, I think winemaking's going to be my preference?
So, you know, I think I made the right choice for one, but not going into medicine. There are so many winemakers that are thinking that they're heading for med school before they find that door that opens up and shifts their path. So I had graduated from Davis. Like I said, I'm a local girl born and raised in Santa Rosa, and had gone to Davis, have a biochemistry degree, loved it, moved to Italy for a couple years. And then when I moved back, I was getting serious about med school. And I got a job.
If you don't mind me interrupting, what were you doing in Italy?
Well.
Was that a boy? Was
no. There were boys, but that was not it. No, I went over there because everyone was saying, in med school, once you're in it, you're not going to look up until you're at least 40 years old. And that sounded really old when you're in your early 20s. And I had a friend that had lived over there as an exchange student. So I went over and stayed with her family, ended up teaching English at a conversational English school,
sure,
which means that I didn't have to speak Italian yet. And then I started working in restaurants and in bars and in nightclubs. And so it was just this, it was an amazing experience for sure. And then it was time to get serious. And so I came back working. The job I found was part-time at Simi Winery in the tasting room. And Zelma Long was the winemaker. She was the executive director. So she was doing like all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And she ran the whole show. She had the business side of things down. She had the winemaking side of things down, a scientist, and a lovely person. And she just changed my path. And that was about 23 years ago. Yeah. So I don't know how old you have to be a veteran in the wine business, but I don't feel old enough yet. We'll see.
Well, when they start calling you an icon, then you'll know.
I'm definitely not iconic.
Because Zelma certainly reached that level.
She's exactly. Oh, absolutely. And I've worked with some of the best. I mean, Jill Davis, Zelma, did a little bit with Helen Turley, very, very briefly. And then over at Lancaster, that was great. I worked with David Ramey over there. He was a consulting winemaker. Fantastic.
Another one.
Super smart guy. And then Lambert Bridge, I've been here almost about 7.5 years now.
Wow.
Loved every day. It's a fantastic.
It's flying by, I bet.
Flying by. All of a sudden, it's like kids. You know, you look up and, wow, where did the time go? The owners are the best of people. It's great to be at a small family-run place. You know, we're making maybe 7,500, 8,000 cases a year. I make between 12 and 15 different wines, so a lot of different wines, but we have...
Which indicates small lot wines.
Lots of small lots. The joke around here is we do things the hardest way possible, so it's the best way, and it's the hardest way.
And the most expensive
way. And the most expensive way, too. But it's great. And then our wine, most of it's sold directly to our members, so it's a great way to go.
I was wondering about that. How much is it? It's about 80, 90%?
Yeah, that's about right. Exactly. But then if you walk into the tasting room, you don't need an appointment. You can just walk right in. For the seated experiences, we like the appointment. But you can taste our wines. And so it's not like they're not accessible.
She's Jennifer Higgins of Lambert Bridge Winery in Sonoma County's Dry Creek Valley. We'll talk more about the wine and winemaking style, as well as their food experiences, when we continue on the Wine Road. You're listening to 1350 AM, or maybe 103.5 FM KSRO. I'm Jeff Davis, and this is On the Wine Road. I'm with Jennifer Higgins at Lambert Bridge Winery, and I noticed on their website how very particular they are about when to harvest their grapes. They don't make the decision by row. It's almost as if they decide by individual cluster.
I have these irrigation flags that are green and red, and I go around and I'll mark off sections of vineyards. Little blocks get broken into sub-blocks, and we've got these great people that do the heavy lifting for us, and they don't pick the reds, they only pick the greens, and because of that I can get these really concentrated flavors and get the right sections in. So it's wow. Great. I know. Like I said, we do things the hardest way possible.
Right.
Yeah.
And the smartest way, and I was surprised to learn that about 17 years ago, you guys are making about 25,000 cases here at Lambert Bridge. But the chambers decided that they wanted to make it a little bit more handcrafted, so they pulled back to that 8,000 mark, and that's quite a decision.
If you can imagine what that's like. So Lambert Bridge has been around since 1975. Patty Chambers is only the second owner. And so Patty and Ray bought Lambert Bridge in 93. Mm-hmm. And yes, they grew up to about 25,000 cases. And then the decision was made not very long ago, it was about 2006, that instead of making a lot and distributing and, you know, sending our wine everywhere, let's just take the, we flipped the business. We took the quantity way down, we took the quality way up, and stopped distributing. And so we have control, and it has worked out very, very well.
Right.
Yeah. Bold move, though. Bold move.
Yeah. Well, and I guess the relationships you have with your customers are a lot stronger at that level.
I love our members. I love our members. Yeah. They're just the best of people. And we don't advertise. We don't rate our wines, which for me is great because I've been on both sides of it. And I'm making wine for them. And so it's a real focus. I know exactly who I'm doing it for. And it's a luxury for sure.
I imagine back then they had a lot more vineyards they worked with. You have estate vineyards, but you do have... Nowadays, you have three other vineyards you're working with, but back then it must have been much larger.
Yeah, yes, that was Julia Iantosca that was doing most of that. And I just saw her. She's doing really, really well.
Yeah.
And just another amazing person. And so, yeah, I can only imagine what she was juggling. Lots of different sources.
So now you have the Gilfillan Vineyards to work with. And tell us about that unique site.
So Gilfillan Vineyards is... on the Sonoma side of Mount Veeder. So that means it's just smack in the middle of the Moon Mountain Appalachian, Moon Mountain District, mm-hmm. AVA, which in my opinion is one of the most exciting places to be growing Cabernet in Sonoma County, bar none. From this vineyard, one, it's a magical site. The dirt is just red, red, red. It's all volcanic. It's about, in some places, up to 80% rock, and the rest is clay. There's hardly any soil up there at all.
Is that where it gets the name, you think? Moon Mountain?
Moon Mountain, I think, because you look like you're on the moon. And so these vines are definitely struggling. I call it my Buns of Steel vineyard, because to sample it almost kills you, you know, because you're hiking up and down a 30% slope. But the wine quality is tremendous.
And that's up there, isn't it? It's about 1,500 feet?
Yeah, it's a little less than that. It's right around 1,300. Mm-hmm. But from up there, you can see San Francisco. You have a clear shot on a clear day. And you can see the Transamerica Pyramid shining, reflecting on the light. And right. We've been doing these Gilfillan series sundowners up there. So for our members who...
A dining experience.
Dining, exactly. Yeah. So for our members who purchase the wine, they can go up there. This is the first time we started doing this, and we have a chef up there, and we do a little bit of a dinner and watch the sun go down, and then we all jump back into our vans and come back to the winery.
So it's sounds like fun.
Amazing. Yeah.
It obviously must get a lot of sunlight up there, especially being on this side of the mountain.
I know. It's a relatively young vineyard, and it's taken probably 7 years to figure out how to farm it. In terms of canopy, the sun is extremely intense up there. It almost feels like you're in the Sierras, you know, that amazing hot heat that you get. And so the canopy is essential. Water management is essential. So it's a lot of fine-tuning. I spent a lot of time up at Gilfillan. For 6.5 acres of grapes, it's I spend a lot of time up there. I think I picked it in 6 different sections for 6.5 acres. And it's about 1.5 hours away from the winery. So to say I'm going to go check on this vineyard means a right. lot of good truck time in the truck. So.
And I may or may not see you later today.
And there's rattlesnakes and there's mountain lions and all sorts of fun things. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And you're getting a good workout.
And I get a great workout. It's fantastic. Yeah, who needs it? Who needs a gym? Who needs a gym?
Well, Bordeaux varieties are obviously your key here at Lambert Bridge. But, of course, since you are in Dry Creek, Zinfandel still remains very strong for you.
Right. Love Zin. We do a Zinfandel and a Petite Syrah. And we're always looking. In the past, we've done other Zinfandels as well. I'm always looking for that vineyard designate. So I'm hoping for a rock pile. I love maple. We have our Forchini Vineyard Zinfandel. And then we have our Myers Vineyard Zinfandel. So that's the idea, because I think each vineyard can tell its own story. And with Zinfandel in particular, you can really tell that it has its own story. The Petite Syrah, too, grows really well, and that's just right here on the property, right across the street from the winery. So it's great. And then with the whites, we make a Sauvignon Blanc, which is a Bordeaux white. And this last year, we did a little Semillon as well. So we're doing a little bit of a Bordeaux Blanc program. And then we also make Viognier, and we also make a couple Chardonnays, which we grow. Yeah.
I was surprised to see you. The Chardonnay is growing right next to the Malbecs and the Cab Francs.
I know, but I love that area. So I actually got married on that ranch, and it's really close to where I grew up. And
which one is that? Which
ranch? It's called Chambers Vineyard. So it's kind of in the foothills north of Santa Rosa. And it's this beautiful, cool pocket. So for Malbec and Merlot, it really preserves the fruit, gives us great color, kind of a rose floral. It's a great place to grow those grapes. And then the Chardonnay does really, really well.
Yeah. And those varieties grow well in warmer climates. Cab Franc is certainly known for being a cooler climate variety. It's one of the few that really does well in New York.
Right.
But yeah, it's funny to see the Chardonnay with those.
Right there. I know. But boy, there's such an expression that happens when you grow some of those Bordeaux reds in that area. It's too cool for Cabernet Sauvignon, but for Cab Franc, Petit Verdot, Malbec, Merlot, it shines. It really does.
With the history of this place and its rustic nature and a little bit of age, did you feel like you got the keys to like a 69 Maserati or a Ferrari when you got the job here?
Oh my God, I cannot ever imagine there would be a better job than this one. I really can't. I think that at this moment in time, I appreciate every bit of it. I've got a great production team. Everybody at the winery, they're just all amazing people. And there's this great friendly banter, and we love to hang out. And then you've got the owners who are the best of people. And if I need a new tool and it improves the quality, you know, that's available. And so that's really great. So I can keep trying to improve every day. And then just the fact that I know exactly who's buying our wine.
I imagine from the way you've talked that you're not afraid of, at least at this point, of this being sold.
Oh no, I'm not afraid. You know, there's Patty and I have children that are involved in the business. It's not anything I'm going to be spending time worrying about right now. That's for sure.
How many more years do you think?
For me? Well, let's see, I'm 48, so hopefully I'll be here for at least another 20. you know, and then I
will you see yourself over. Working 20 years more here?
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Absolutely. I love everything about it. If I had a winery, if I could own my own place, it would look like this. That's all. That's as easy as it gets right there.
Well, maybe you'll be one of those winemakers who actually take over the winery.
Well, maybe. Who knows? Who knows? Hey, thanks. Maybe I'll have
we
you.
We planted a seed.
I love it.
Jennifer Higgins of Lambert Bridge Winery, who often goes by Jen. She's the kind of girl who lived down the street when you were growing up. You knew her throughout school, then ran into her years later and picked up where you left off. Very friendly. It was fun to get to know her. She's a heck of a winemaker, too. At the beginning of the interview, you heard her mention some of the culinary experiences at Lambert Bridge. We were thrilled to get invited to one of their Chef's Table series that they feature monthly, but they do it twice a day, 2 or 3 days in a row, featuring very talented local chefs. We attended Chef Mateo's luncheon. He owns Mateo's Cucina Latina in Healdsburg, and what he created went so well with the Lambert Bridge wines. It was one of the best we'd experienced. We sat with two other couples, and it was a real pleasure. Lambert Bridge will also be hosting a James Beard Celebrity Chef's Dinner next Saturday at 6 p.m. It features James Beard Award-winning chefs as well as some locals. If you love gourmet food and wine, it's a must attend. There are just a few tickets available. You can get details at lambertbridge.com. Up next, longtime winemaker Joel Aiken has On the Wine Road continues.